The word's good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You're in the right place at the right time.
Amen.
Every service has a purpose. Every service has a plan.
Amen.
And God's going to do something here today. Praise God. Now in a second, I'm going to ask Him. Now He always answers my prayers.
Amen.
And He'll always answer yours too. I'm not special. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Him to speak to every heart in here today and hit the bullseye of your heart. So I don't know everything you're going through or what you need or what questions you have that you need answered and what problems you're going through. But God's going to say something today that's going to hit the bullseye of your heart. And how can that happen? Well, that's supernatural.
Amen.
That's how church is supposed to be. That's what's supposed to happen when we gather. And so I'm going to pray and ask Him. The only thing I ask you is to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And when He does, and when He talks to you, that's a sign unto you that He's real and that He loves you. Praise God. Father, we love You today. Thank You so much for the Word. Father, this is our help. This is where we get our change. This is where we go from glory to glory. The Word is a lamp and a light into our feet and our path so we won't stumble, so we won't walk into things that we shouldn't, so we won't mess ourselves up. Father, no, You've made it simple for us. We'll just follow Your Word. So, Father, speak through me today. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I'd endeavor to speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And, Father, I thank You that what comes out of me isn't for me, it's from You, Lord. We need words from the throne room here this morning. And, Father, I'm asking You, Lord, they came out on a cold Sunday morning. Father, so many other things we could be doing naturally, but Father, they've chose to put You first. Bless them, Father. Help them grow, Father. Give them something here today. Father, I'm asking that You speak to every single person's heart. Father, that You would hit the bullseye of exactly what they're going through. Father, that and when that would happen, that they would not miss that, but they would recognize that as a move of God and a supernatural move of God. And Father, the love that You have for them to speak through them this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says this. It says, examine yourselves whether you, and I'm going to read it in another translation that's going to really bring it to light. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But we're going to look at the first part of that verse. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to do what? To see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. So the Bible here says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, to Christians this is written. This isn't written to the world. Not talking about examine to see whether or not you're a Christian or not. No, the Corinthian church were already born again. They were a church. He says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in faith or not. Examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in faith or not. And it's to your benefit to do this. He wouldn't have put it in there if it wasn't. It's to your benefit to do this because faith is the currency of God in the sense that faith enables you to do things. Just like money enables you to do things naturally, right? More money you have, the more you can do, right? I mean, let's just be honest. The more freedom you have to do certain things, to move certain things, to build certain things, to create certain things. Well, it's the same with faith. Faith enables you to do things. Faith enables you to build things. Faith enables you to create things. Faith enables things to come out of nothing. Faith enables you to change things. So it's your benefit to be in faith. Because if you're not in faith, you're not in victory. Because the Bible says faith is the victory. If you're not in faith, you're not in pleasing God. The Bible says faith pleases God. Yeah, all these things. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says the promises of God come by faith. We could go on and on and on and on and on about it. So it does to your benefit to be in faith. Faith is the currency. Faith is how you are going to change things and get things to move. And, you know, if you think about money, how foolish would it be? Now, maybe you've done it before. I know there was a time years ago where, I mean, I was just writing hot checks. I didn't even know I was doing it, but I was. I was writing hot checks. They were bouncing left and right, and my bank wasn't too happy. Thank God my mom worked at a bank and got it all fixed. It was a simple mistake. I didn't mean to do it, but still, the problem was I didn't examine that bank account. I didn't know what was in that bank account. You know, how foolish would it be just to grab a random credit card with your name off the table and go out and have a spending spree, not knowing what the account balance is, not knowing what the limit is? You might get there, want to purchase something, and get denied. You know, you might need to do something in your life. You might need that money, and all of a sudden you ain't got that money, but you thought you did, but you didn't examine that account. It'd be foolish to go on a spending spree. It'd be foolish to not know what kind of money you have. Why? Because you could get turned down. It could hurt you later in life. And see, so many times people, when it comes to faith, and faith is how we get through our trials, when they go to check out to pay for that trial, to get past that trial, to walk out victoriously in that trial, there's nothing there. The bank account's empty. Why? They never examine themselves. So I'm going to help you examine yourself today. Praise God. I'm going to help you examine yourselves today to see whether or not you're in the faith, to see whether or not you're holding to faith, to see whether or not you are able at checkout time of a trial. When hell shows up at your front door, do you have any faith in that bank account to use? Well, I'm going to show you three main ways in the Bible to examine yourselves. And I'm going to ask you during this service to sincerely and truly look at your own life and to judge yourselves. You know the Bible says if you'll judge yourselves, you won't be judged. Amen. Now, a lot of judgment comes from people getting into sin and ignorance and the devil comes on. If you'll just judge yourselves and do the right thing, it won't happen. Amen. It won't happen. If you examine yourselves today, you can find out if you're in faith. So I'm going to ask you to evaluate yourselves. And I'm going to show you what the Bible says about people that are in faith. And if you don't qualify for these things, don't beat yourself up. Just realize, okay, I need to put some more money in that account. Better not use that account when I go to the store. I'm going to get turned down. I'm not going to be able to purchase what I need at the time. Got to examine yourselves. And so we're going to look at three main things. Now, these aren't the be-all, end-all, but they're three main things in your life that if you can get these three things down, oh, you'll be on your way. You'll be out. Well, praise the Lord for that. That was good, Pastor Mike. Thanks for the encouragement. We're sure glad you're here today, Pastor. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding. Sometimes you need to just stir yourself up. You see, because the world's not going to stir you up. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians won't stir you up. In fact, sometimes Christians will bring you down worse than the world will. And moping ain't going to get the job done. God's not looking for your moping. And sometimes, you know, you've just been sitting there all stale like a pot of broccoli cheese soup on the stove that hasn't been stirred. It's all crusty and yucky at the top until someone gets in there and stirs that thing up and it starts to get creamy and smooth again. Some of you need to get your creamy smoothness back. Praise God. Just stir yourself up. Pace in the floor. Tell the devil what's going to happen. Financial trials come. What does stirring yourself up look like? You're having a down day, an Eeyore day. Walk in the floor saying, no, I have the joy of the Lord. Money's coming to me. My kids will serve God. That's stirring yourself up. The world ain't going to do that for you. And I know you all wish I could live with you 24/7. But I'm not going to be there to be able to do that either. You only get me a couple times a week, right? Praise God. So you got to learn to stir yourselves up. So sometimes when it seems a little stale out there, I just pat myself on the back up here. Praise God. Of course, you know I'm just kidding. But number one, examining ourselves, making sure we're available. See, because God needs your faith. Let me say it again. God needs your faith. God can't do anything apart from your faith. I know that's not what you were taught growing up. I know that's maybe not what Granny said. Or what Grandpa said, or Reverend so-and-so said. But the Bible says God can't do a lick without your faith. Jesus said all things are possible. Well, praise God. And most people will chalk that off to, well, yeah, God's big. He can do whatever. But that's not what Jesus said. He said all things are possible to him that believes. He needs your faith. So we better be in faith. We better examine ourselves. Glory to God. So number one, if you are not consistently speaking what you are believing for, you are not in faith. Yeah, that's good. I feel like at the end of this sermon, it's going to sound like, what's the comedian that does the redneck jokes? Jeff Foxworthy, you know, he says, how did he start? You might be a redneck if, yeah. Right? Well, this is one of those things. You are not in faith if. Yeah. That's what I feel like this is going to end up being. But I just want to help you. I just want to help you, praise God. If you are not consistently speaking what you're believing for, then you are not in faith. Amen. You're not. And people say, faith is believing. No, it's not. Faith is not believing only. Faith is believing and speaking. Amen. You can't just believe. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Oh, I've heard this before. Then why don't you start saying something? Why does God always tell me to preach these messages? Why do I have phone calls of people and they'll tell me, I hear the same stories over and over again. I'm still not doing what you're saying. So stop sitting there with that attitude and say, I've heard this already. Then start stinking doing it. Praise God. Oh, Pastor's mad at me this morning. No, he's not. He loves you. Pastor loves you so much. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. That word spirit in the Greek, the New Testament was written in the Greek, is the word vital sign. Now, if you know anything about a vital sign shows you the signs of life. Without the vital signs in somebody's body, Houston, we have a problem. And when they check the vital signs, it tells you, first of all, that there's life, but also what kind of life there is there. And that word spirit in the Greek is vital signs. So the Bible says we have the same vital signs of faith. So to find out whether or not we're in faith or not, the Bible makes it simple. It tells you what the vital signs are. Right. As it is written, I believed, which most people think faith just is believing. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. Amen. We believe and therefore speak. You are not in faith unless you're saying something. You are not in faith thinking it. You are not in faith laying in bed at night and hoping it. You are not in faith just reading the Bible. The last time I checked, the Bible don't talk. Go with me to Mark 11:23 real quick, Heather, if you'd put that one up there. Glory to God. Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. You are not in faith unless you're saying. I'm sorry, brain on your parade, but you're not. Mark 11:23 says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he thinketh. He shall have whatsoever he hopeth. He shall have whatsoever he meditates and just wishes. No, you'll have what you say. The belief will rise up in you and will cause you to say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart is where the man believes, the Bible says. Man believeth with the heart, and confession is made unto the promise. What happens? You hear the word, it gets into your heart, and you believe something. But see, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end. It's like Caleb wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and Daddy just puts peanut butter on. We ain't done yet, Dad. Where's the jelly? Where's the jelly? Well, you get the believing in your heart, there's got to be the speaking to go with it. Yeah. You got to have the speaking to go with it, because the Bible says the mountains aren't moved by thoughts. The Bible says the mountains aren't moved by prayers. The Bible says the mountains aren't moved by hope. The mountains are moved when you start speaking to the mountains. Speaking what you believe. What? The Word. People say, I'll just read my Bible. Last time I checked, the Bible don't talk. Let's see. Is it turned up enough? I mean, I want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. You know, the Bible says, by His stripes I'm healed. Well, that doesn't come to pass till it gets into my heart and out of my mouth. So what that it's on this? There are sick people and poor people walking by the Bible in Walmart every day and nothing's changing. It don't matter that it's in here. It needs to get from here to here and out here. Yeah, it does. Because this word gives you the promises for everything, but it ain't broken. You got to do the talking. You'll have what you say. And if you're not consistently on purpose saying things, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. Well, I said it one time. Bible says there's one time of believing, three times of saying. You're going to have to do three times of saying as a believing. It says to believe one time and it says three things about saying. Yeah, it's important to say things on purpose. You say, well, I'll just be quiet and not say the wrong thing. That don't count. You're disqualified from faith. Faith gets up and says things every single day. What are you believing God for? What are you believing for your family? What are you believing for your finances? What are you believing for your health? What do you believe in for your businesses? Well, if you're not saying anything, we wouldn't know. God wouldn't know either. He's not saying, well, they're thinking those thoughts. I guess I'll bless them. No, he says, when they start speaking it, mountains will start moving. And isn't that interesting? That verse is zero about God. Zero about God. Zero about your pastor. Zero about anybody else. The responsibility is on you. That's why I love when the Bible says, examine your own selves to see whether or not you're in faith. Because you're going to have to be in faith. You can't rely on your pastor's faith. You can't rely on your spouse's faith. You can't rely on the prayer chain. Because I'll tell you why. The majority of prayer chains are praying so unscriptural that the prayers are hitting the ceiling and falling right to the ground. They'd be better to sit there and twiddle their thumbs and sing, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." Oh, this is going over real big today. Praise God. It's like a lead balloon in here. Boom, pop, right there. Praise God. I'm serious. Devil hates when I preach on this stuff. Because the Bible says that take the shield of faith wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So when I preach faith, I get more attacks in my mind than anything. Because faith puts the responsibility on you. Faith is your part, and we don't like to have a part. We want to pass the buck and have everybody else do everything for us. Well, that ain't going to get the job done. If you're sitting around waiting for your pastor to believe God for you, you're going to be waiting a long time. I got my own things to believe God for. You know, she's got certain things in her life that she's believing God for. Don't come talk to me about those things. You got your own faith. I got enough on my plate. Right? If you think I'm going to take everybody's faith ventures and put them on my faith, number one, it wouldn't work. Number two, I don't have that ability. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And you're not in the faith unless you're saying. People have laughed at me. Oh, you got a confession list. You're darn right I got a confession list. Because that way I know every day. Because see, notice Jesus said you'll have whatsoever things you say, so repetition's not bad.
Right.
Repetition's not bad.
Amen.
I get up every day. I got a list of confessions that I'm believing for myself, for my children, for this church, for different things that I'm believing God for personally, desires that I have in my heart. And I get up every day and I say, that's coming to pass.
Amen.
That'll come to pass. I'm going to have that. I'm going to see that in the church. I'm going to have that in the church. That's going to happen. Praise God. Why? Because I won't have it unless I say it.
Amen.
If you're not happy with what you have, check up on what you've been saying, because what you've been saying is what you have. Well, I never have anything. Well, that's why. Well, that's why. Well, I'm always the one that gets sick. That's why. That's why. Praise God. So if you're not saying on purpose, well, I don't know what to say. Say what the Word says concerning what you're believing God for. If you're believing God for healing, start speaking healing scriptures. It's not enough that it's just in here. I mean, religion will try to tell you, oh, you know, God, whatever will be, will be. Well, it doesn't say that God's going to speak to the mountain for you. You have to speak to the mountain. Every single day. Every single day. Be speaking what you're believing for. Till what? Till it comes to pass. Till it comes to pass. I don't know anybody who fishes that gets mad about the process of reeling that thing in. Oh, what do I have to do this for? Until the stupid fish shows up in the boat, that's how long you do it for. Don't stop reeling until you see the fish. Don't stop speaking it until you see the promise. Amen? What is wrong with me? Praise God. Lord, we love you today. We're so thankful for you helping us. Saying to the mountain. So number one, she's all laughing up here now. How am I going to go on? I don't even know what I said. But anyways, he will have whatsoever things he saith. Why do you want to fight the Bible?
Come on.
Answer me. Why? Do you want to fight the Bible? If he said you'll have whatsoever you think, I'll tell you, let's just sit here real hard and get our face all red and crinkle up our foreheads and get our veins popping out. Let's think.
Come on.
If that's what it says, what I do. But that's not what it says. You'll have whatsoever you think you say. You'd be surprised. Pastor, I hear this all the time. I get phone calls all the time. What are you saying over that? Nothing. Come on, people. You'll have what you say. Start saying on purpose. And listen, it ain't always convenient to say. You're not always going to feel like saying something. God did not create... No, the Bible says to be an imitator of Him. Imitate everything He does. When He created the universe, He didn't go... No, what did He do? Spoke it into existence. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And Pastor Mike says, and it was. And congregation member A says, and it was. And congregation member B says, and it was. You can't do it any different than God. He told you to imitate Him, duplicate Him. He spoke it into existence. Yeah, see, some of you are naturally trying way too hard. See, because your mind likes the work process because you feel like you're doing something when you're stirring up a lot of energy and make it tough. How much easier is it just to sit back and look at that mountain and just speak to it? The mind doesn't like that because it's so simple.
Right, right. Right.
I remember when we were in that that poverty situation of debt and every month, and just holding that baby in the dark and feeding Caleb and just speaking those things and saying, Father, I thank you, a salary's coming. I thank you, our debts are paid off.
Right.
That the mind and the body wanted to go out and get extra jobs.
Sure.
I'm not telling you not to do that.
Right.
If God leads you to do that, sometimes there's seasons. You know, prosperity sometimes comes dressed up in overalls.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Work sometimes leads to that prosperity.
Sure.
But sometimes people get 2, 3, 4 jobs, stretch themselves so thin, God never told them to do it. Why? Because they're afraid.
Yeah.
They're in fear. Now, if you're in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th job and God told you to do it, stay faithful. He'll bless you in that thing. But some people do it because then their mind, it appeases their mind and their flesh because they're doing a lot, because it's just way too easy to sit back and call money in. It's way too easy to speak to the mountain of poverty and say, money, you come in Jesus' name. But that's how you do it. That's how you do it, praise God. And we sat there. I know people, I tell these a lot because faith comes by hearing, but also we have new people all the time. We sat there, $1,200 to $2,000 short for almost 2 years, just on bills coming in. Did not count groceries. Did not count diapers and anything for the baby. Did not count anything recreational. Did not count gas and vehicles. I'm talking about bills that came in the mail. We were $1,200 short every single month with one salary. And God told me, don't you dare work. And all I did, I tried to go get a third shift job. He said, don't do it. The church will suffer. So I obeyed him. And all I did to make that $60,000 worth of debt disappear in 2 years on one salary was speak to the mountain every day. That's all I did. No magic formulas. I didn't drop any faith hints to people. I didn't beg people. I just simply every day fed that baby, said money comes. Debts are paid off. Salary's coming. All our bills are paid. And we were never short. We were never late one time. Now, I don't know, maybe that's not a lot to you, but $1,200 at that time to me was a lot of money being short. And not only did we make it every month, we paid off $60,000 worth of debt. How? Speaking. Because not only did I say, oh, I thank you, Lord, all my needs are met, I said, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff.
Amen.
See, we say it for a month, and then it didn't work, and we give it up. Why? Oh, I reeled the fish in halfway, and I'm done with this. What are you talking about? That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Stick with it. Dig in. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering till it shows up. Amen? So number one, if you're not consistently speaking what you're believing for, you're not in faith. Number two, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to turn that AC on. I'm getting hot up here. Praise God.
Praise God.
What temperature are we on here? Let's see here. Cool. Let's drop it down just a little bit. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Number two, are you ready to look at me cross-eyed?
Amen.
Some of you are. If you, now let's examine yourselves. If you are worried about anything at all in your life, let me say that again so it sinks in. If you are worried, troubled about anything at all in your life, you are not in faith. I'm helping you examine yourselves. I'm helping you examine yourselves. Now, this includes and is not limited to money, your kids, jobs, your business, your body, anything. Say, Pastor, you're treading on some thin ice. You don't know what I'm going through. Ooh. See, you know what you're doing? You're blowing up your trial way bigger than what God can do for you. Because I'm not the one telling you not to worry. The Word is. And when you have that response, if you do, Pastor, how can you say it? You don't know what I'm facing. You're saying my trial's bigger than what my God can do. Amen. If you are worried about anything, you're not in faith. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Actually, you know what? Don't go there. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. I'm going to tell you about what Mark chapter 4 says. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. In Mark chapter 4, it's when Jesus told the disciples to get on the boat with him. They got out into the middle of the water and they had got the greatest storm that they'd ever faced. Professional fishermen. The Bible says in one translation that it was of a hurricane proportion. And they said, Master, wake up. Jesus was on the boat sleeping in the back. And they went and woke him up, shook him. So, Master, do you not care that we're dying? They thought they were as good as dead. And Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind and the sea, told it, peace be still, and the storm stopped. But then he said something interesting to them. Now, would you say that the disciples were in fear and in worry? Oh, absolutely. And Jesus said, how is it that you're so fearful? You have no faith. He didn't say you have just a little faith. He said you have no faith in Mark chapter 4. So he said, if you're in worry, you're not in faith. He just got done telling them, because you're worried, you just canceled your faith out. You canceled your faith out. Well, let's see here what the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful. That word's a little blind to us in the King James. In the more modern translation, if you look up that word careful, it means to be anxious or be worried. Be worried for, while there's some things that, you know, warrant worry. Or there's some things that justify, you know, there's certain doctor's reports that you might want to worry, or there's certain times your kids will go through things you probably should worry, or there's certain times that your finances will look away. Be anxious or worried for nothing. And when pastor stands up here and tells you that not to be worried about anything, and the response in your mind is, but you don't know what I'm going through, you're saying that Jesus, when he had that verse penned in the Bible, is taken by surprise by what you're facing right now. That's what you're saying. You're saying he put this in there not knowing what I would face. You see, the devil loves to do that to people. The Bible says no test or trial has overtaken you that's common to man. You think you're the only one. You think it's the worst for you. It's common. Bible says it's common. Now, that's not belittling what you're going through. But see, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Worry and fear and doubt is not going to get the job done. I want to show you something amazing in the Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. We're going to see if Jesus is as bold and as mean as old Pastor Mike is today. Pastor's up here telling us, don't you be worried about a thing, and he don't understand what I'm facing. What a meanie. No, you don't know how loving I am to tell you that. Honestly, you don't know how loving I am to tell you that. Because see, when you face a trial or a test, fear, worry, and doubt are not going to get you out of that thing. I had a gentleman that I was talking to earlier in the week on the phone. Don't go to this church. And he said something, a situation came up in his life, and the first words out of his mouth is, I'm really worried. I said, whoa, stop right there. That ain't going to change anything. You being worried, you need to deal with that worry first. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. I know that's the natural human response, but we're supernatural beings. We don't have to succumb to the natural realm. You're going to like this. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. Now, when I hear that, I can relate. I have a little daughter. And thank God she's starting to like me more. She's starting to be more clingy with daddy and getting mad when I'm leaving. I used to be make me so mad to hear her cry, but when I leave now and she cries, I'm happy. She's crying because I'm going. Praise God. So when I hear my little daughter, man, something inside me. And then I read on further and I just try to put myself in this guy's shoes. My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, I beseech you, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. And verse 24 says, Jesus went with him. Oh, he was so willing to be inconvenienced. He loved people. Amen. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, on the way to Jairus' house to see his daughter is when we run into the woman with the issue of blood. That's what verses 25, we're going to skip down through verses 25 through verse 34. And verse 34 is going to be the encounter, the end of the encounter, that he's on his way to this guy's house where his daughter was sick. And Jesus says in verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. So Jairus says, come with me. Jesus is on his way. He meets this woman who's sick. She gets her healing. Now here's what I want you to see in verse 35. While he yet spake, while he's yet saying to this other woman, you're healed, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, so one of the people that is a part of Jairus' house, said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master any further. So now the situation has gone from worse to horrible, from bad to tragic. at one point, he comes to Jesus and says, my daughter's sick, come with her. Jesus is on his way. This other person happens, maybe takes up some time, precious time. And now someone comes while Jesus is saying, daughter, your faith has made you whole. This person is saying, she's dead. Your daughter's dead. Now, can you imagine, praise God, let me just say this, if you've lost a child, the Lord has comfort for you. He has sympathy for you. Great comfort and great peace for you. Praise God. I can't even go there mentally. To even try would be a slap in the face to people that have actually been there. And so if you've been in that place, there's great help for you. There's great comfort. God wrapping his loving arms around you for that. Praise God. I'm thankful for it. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, as soon as opposition came, don't you think, you have to remember, Jesus was just as much human as you and I were. Right. The Bible says he laid aside his deity when he came to the earth. Right. He was the Son of God, but he was God in flesh. Right. He still felt things. He still was tempted to be worried, tempted to be in fear, tempted to sin even. He just didn't do all those things. Sure. Praise God. But he was tempted to. And he felt the same things. That's why it says we have a high priest who can sympathize with our infirmities. Because he was at all points tempted in sin as we were. In every test that you've ever had, Jesus was tested that way. So he can relate to you and get you through that thing. You know, people that struggle with depression and suicide have a lot easier time talking to me than like someone like Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim never dealt with it. Now, not that he can't give them the same advice and the same word of God to help them, but it seems some people can relate to me that are going through that. Why? I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly what it feels like to feel that way. Now, ultimately, the help has to be the Word of God, but it just seems people can relate a little bit. But as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, now remember, this guy has just lost his little girl. He just got a report that his little girl is gone. Notice Jesus didn't give him any wiggle room to start worrying. He didn't give him any wiggle room to start being anxious and fretful, because anxious and fretting and worry in the time of a tested trial will not turn the tables on that thing. As soon as Jesus heard the word, I love it, he got right on that thing. Didn't waste any time. As soon as the word was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. What's he saying? Do not worry. Don't be afraid. Only believe. What's he saying? I don't need your worry. I don't need your doubt. But I do need your faith. Glory to God. That's why when I go visit people in the hospital, you'll see in different places that Jesus rushed all people that were doubters and unbelievers out of the room. Be careful who you surround yourself with. Be careful who you tell your trials to. Because you got to be careful with the response they're going to give you back. Because faith comes by hearing. Well, I hope they're not listening by live stream. Actually, I kind of hope they are. But if they are, they're going to get an earful right now. There's certain people in my family, they'll never, ever, ever know a thing of what's going on with my kids and my finances and anything. Because I know the response they'll give me. Worry, fear, doubt. I don't need to hear that. That's not going to help me. That's why I tell you, you call me. Oh, I'll pump you up. I'll pump you up full of faith. I won't lie to you, blow smoke at you. I'm just going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to let you know you're going to get through this thing. You're not going to, I'll pat you on the back, but while I'm patting you on the back, I'm going to tell you, be in faith. Be in faith. And that's why I go to the hospital. I say, listen, doubt and unbelief, we don't have time for that in this room. That's not going to change the situation. When someone says to me, I'm worried about money, no time for that. You got to deal with that worry right away. Because Jesus, in a time, he says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. If you're worried about anything, you're not in faith. Well, Pastor, what is the remedy to worry? Well, thank God there is one. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And then we got one more point and we're done. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Examining ourselves. Yeah. If you're not speaking, you better. That's right. If you're worried about anything, you better deal with that. See, confessions won't hide your worry.
Right.
Right. That's good.
It's like those, someone has a really bad experience in the bathroom and sprays that stuff, And sorry, it's just what came to me. And It doesn't necessarily get rid of it. It just kind of masks it. Your confession is not going to get rid of the problem if worry's there. See, sometimes you'll get a doctor's report or a financial test or trial will come your way, and instantly your response is fear and worry. But you combat it the wrong way. You get a sickness comes your way, or a doctor's report, or a wrong thing about your business, or a wrong thing financially, and instantly you start saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. Oh, he'll meet all my needs. And you're doing that. You're shooting out as many confessions as you can, as fast as you can, out of worry and fear. You're just a machine gun of Bible confessions, and it ain't coming from any place of faith. It's coming from, oh my God, Jesus, woohoo, I'm so scared, but he'll meet all my needs. Oh my God, you know, and pacing the floor, wearing it out in the carpet. We've all been there. Yeah. Just because you confess, if there's no faith behind the confession, it's just empty words. It's just empty words. And so first you need to deal with the worry and the fear before you start confessing. Because when you start confessing the promise, you want it to be from a solid foundation of faith. That when you know what you say, it's coming to pass. Isaiah 26:3 is the remedy. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. You know what perfect peace is? No fear.
That's right.
No worry. No doubt. No anxiety.
Amen.
I will keep him in perfect peace whose doctor's reports are perfect.
No.
I will keep him in perfect peace whose bank accounts are full.
No.
I will keep him in perfect peace whose life is perfect every single day.
Oh,
see? Circumstance, feeling-based Christians, I'll tell you, it's amazing. The roller coaster that you see in the sheep's lives. Money's good and they're up here and they're nice to you and real kind. Money's down and they're grumpy, mad, come to service all mad. Things are going good for a week and boom, they're up here. Things are going bad and they're down here. It's a constant up and down, up and down. When have you ever seen me down? When? When have you ever seen me worried?
Never.
Why? Because I know those things matter. If I get into worry and fear, that's not to brag on myself. I'm bragging on the Word. I'm going to show you what I do. You never see me have an up and down day, ever. Oh, your life must just be perfect. Oh, you don't even know. That's the thing. You don't even know and want to know sometimes, honestly. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on thee. That's why you need that book, A Sound Disciplined Mind, Living Free from Worry, Fear, and Depression. Why? Because between your ears is the greatest battleground you'll ever face. That's the biggest test you'll ever have is between your ears. And until you get that mind thinking right, you say, okay, so in a financial test and trial, how do I not be worried? Put your mind on what the Word says about financial test and trial. See, if you think right, money problems don't bother you. Because the Word says they're going to work out. The Word says money's coming. If you think right, health problems won't bother you. Why? By its stripes you're healed. And it'll turn out all right. If you think right. If your mind's on Him. Perfect peace only comes if your mind starts wandering to other places. If you got to stay on the Word, the perfect peace is going to be in jeopardy. Amen? So number one, if you're not consistently speaking, you're not in faith. That means you're not going to have your victory. If you're worried about anything at all, you're not in faith. And number three, we'll close with this. Oh, man. We thought number two would look at me cross-eyed. This might even produce a holy hush in here. If you are not walking in love in your life, you are not in faith. This would include, and is not limited to, grudges, unforgiveness of any kind, backbiting, gossiping, treating someone badly, and so on and so on and so on. But Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. I don't need to. When Jesus hung on the cross, He died for a sinful world. And laid His life down from the least sinner to the worst sinner.
God.
Out of love. And the Bible says to be an imitator of God.
Amen.
If you're not doing anything that God would do, you're not in faith concerning these things. Walking in love. The Bible says God is love.
Amen.
And the Bible says that God is the Greek word agape love, which means the God kind of love, not the phileo love. The phileo love in the Bible is the feeling, emotional kind of love between a couple, between a friendship, the conditional kind of love. God is the unconditional lover.
Yeah.
He perished on the cross when we were in our worst condition.
Yeah.
Yet we like to hold people to the fire for the things that they do. And we like to talk behind people's back. And people have hurt us years ago. We're short with them. We ignore them. We go out of our way to be snippy with them. We rehearse it over and over in our minds. And we just think all these things. If you are not in love, you are not in faith. Galatians 5 and verse 6. And oh, I know the Lord's dealing with hearts right now. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Praise God. See, the people that will get mad at me from this message and say, oh, what's he know? He's just a cocky young preacher. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know what people did to me. You're letting the devil mess your mind up. Because the truth is what helps you. You think it's easy to stand up here and preach this stuff in my flesh? It's not. In fact, Sunday afternoons, and I'm going to say Sunday afternoons were. But Sunday afternoons were the most hated time of my life. There's not even anything that came close, and she'll testify to that. The most hated times, because that's when I would get bombarded the most by the devil. That's when severe attacks of depression would come on me after I'd preach the truth. And the devil would be so upset and scared about it, what just got preached, that he'll bombard my mind of, oh, he shouldn't have said that. But see, if I don't say it, you won't change. If I don't tell you the truth, you'll just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. You know, Caleb the other day made this bridge out of chairs and this bench we have. And before, he made it to put his cars on, and I left the room and I walk, and he's out there doing balancing act on these things. And I'm thinking, until I tell him, no, he's going to keep doing that and fall and get hurt. Until I finally stand up and rain on his parade and say, stop doing that. You're not standing on that bridge. Get your Tonka truck out, fine, but get off. Get off the thing. And until I tell him, until I tell you that worry's hurting you, until I tell you that your love walk is hindering your faith, well, prove it to me, I will. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. He said it's not by works of the flesh. He says, but faith, there's that faith word, how you earn victory. Faith is how you receive from God. Faith is how you please God. Faith is how you get God on the scene. But faith, which worketh, one translation says, which is activated and energized by love. Let me make it simple for you. Your faith is the vehicle that drives you to different places. It drives you to prosperity. It drives you to peace. It drives you to blessing in your health. It drives you to the prosperity in your business. It drives you to the good things. But unless you have a key for that vehicle, it's sitting right in the parking lot.
That's right. That's good.
Unless you have a key, and the key to the vehicle of faith is love. Love is the key to victory. Yeah, don't forget that. Love is the key, because faith is your victory, but love's the key. You plug that into your faith, and now your faith can run and shake and have RPMs and power and fun. But until, you can have the sweetest ride in the world. The most beautiful thing, decked out, all the extras you want, but if you don't have that key, now I'm not talking if you're some illegal con guy that knows how to hotwire, I'm talking about the majority of people who don't know how to hotwire a car. let's think rationally here today, people. And you can have the sweetest ride, the most powerful ride, the fastest ride, the most decked out looking thing, the most comfort on the inside, but if you don't have the key, it's going to be a nice little thing to look at on the shelf. Just going to sit there. Same with your faith. Paul said this. He said, though I have faith that I could remove mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Though I can sing as tongues of angels, if I have love, don't have love, I'm becoming a tinkling brass sound. That's what he said. He said, though I give my body to be burned and give all my goods to feed the poor, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. And Jesus, thank God, he said in John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love, that you agape one another the way I have. See, the human love is, well, if you do nice things to me and do right by me, I'll do nice things to you. I'll speak good to you. I'll speak well of you. That's not the God kind of love. The God's kind of love is, I'm going to love you regardless of what you do to me, what you say to me. Grudges, there's no place in the Bible for a grudge. In fact, we'll close with this verse, Mark 11 and verse 23. I had a gentleman tell me the story. I've told it many times. That had a serious shoulder injury for years. Knew the word on healing. Told me some of the ministers that he went to and had hands laid on him. healing anointings in these people's lives. And the shoulder injury kept getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, you know, when things aren't working, it would just do you good to just ask God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people, I think we forget that. Just if it's not working out for you on a consistent basis over and over, why don't you just ask Him?
Yeah.
He'll tell you.
Yeah.
And he finally said, Lord, I believe the Word. I've been in the Word for years. I believe in healing. I've been to ministers. I've seen them lay hands on people and miracles happen. Yet, I can't get my healing, my own faith, and I can't get it from somebody else's anointing. What's going on, God? And the Lord brought up his dad in his heart and the unforgiveness and the bitterness that he had towards his dad. And the Lord says, I can't move on your life until this gets taken care of. Why? I'll show you. Mark 11:23. I won't read the whole verse, but what does it say? He'll have what he says. Go to verse 24. Praise the Lord. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. So 23 says you can have what you say. 24 says you can have what you pray. The most wonderful verses Jesus ever spoke about concerning faith, right here.
Right.
So you can have what you can say, you can have what you pray. Praise God, but then there's a verse 25. And that means it's connected to the previous verses. And when you stand praying, because he just got done saying about saying and praying. So basically he's saying now, when you're in that place of saying for your things that you're believing God for, or praying, when you're in that place, forgive. Now it's going to go on and tell you what the qualifications are. Because again, your mind will want to say, you can stand up there and say that, Pastor, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me when I was a child. I'm not trying to be not compassionate towards what you've went through, but I am trying to get you out of that trouble that you're going through. And holding on to that grudge is going to keep you into that place. Forgiveness does not mean that you're justifying the other person's actions. Forgiveness does not mean that you're telling the other person, I'm okay with what you did to me. What you did to me is okay. Forgiveness is never a feeling either. If you wait to forgive people, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. And thank God we don't have to wait for a feeling. Oh my gosh, we'd be all in a place of not having faith, because the Bible says when you stand praying, forgive. Now here's the qualifications, because again, your mind will say, but you just don't know. If you have aught or anything against anybody, that leaves no loopholes for, well, this would be unforgivable. Or no, anything against anybody. And remember, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Remember that. But the Bible says if you want 23 and 24 to work, if you want your words to work when you say, if you want your prayers to work when you pray, then you better have verse 25 working for you too.
Yeah.
Forgiving. There's the Bible here leaves no place for offense ever.
Yeah.
You can never be offended at anybody. It doesn't leave you any opportunities. It doesn't leave you any place for unforgiveness or bitterness or talking bad about somebody. Or rehearsing it over and over again and having spiteful feelings, and then when you see them, being sharp with them. No place for that. And if there is, you're not in faith. I'm sorry to tell you. You're not in faith, and it'll hinder you. Praise God. We have a person that is not super close to us, but more like a coworker. And we were talking the other day. This person's been laden with financial problems, family problems, and sickness. And one of the things that she's so proud of, she almost wears it as a banner. If you cross me just one time, I'm done with you. And she is so proud to say that. You know what she's saying? I have a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. I have a lot of bitterness in my heart. And she wears it like a badge. And she don't understand. She's a believer. Believes in Jesus, and her life's a wreck. If you cross me just one time, I'm done with you. She better thank her lucky stars Jesus didn't have that attitude towards her. Oh, we want Him to forgive us of our stupidness, of our stupid attacks. But when it comes to our people, no mercy, no grace, no leeway. Bring down the hammer. Consume them with fire, Lord. Oh, aren't you glad He didn't look at you that way? And here she can't ever get healed. Her finances are a wreck. Her marriage is a wreck. Her life is an absolute mess. But if you cross me one time, just goes to show you, just believing in Jesus ain't enough. She believes in Jesus. Yeah, she does. Hallelujah. Well, examine yourselves. whether you be in the faith. If you're not saying, if you're worried about anything, if you have any grudges at all, any unforgiveness, walking out of love, being mean, being spiteful, you're not in faith.
Amen.
Ask God to forgive you for those things and change.
That's right.
Say, how do I change? Meditate and love scriptures.
Yeah.
See, and I'm going to shut my Bible so I really prove to you that I'm done. You say, I don't have that ability to... Listen, I know. I've been there. I know people have been wronged in life. I get it. I mean, I've heard some things that... Pastor Michael told me, you'll get to a point in ministry, nothing will surprise you. And I've gotten to that point. I've heard some of the vilest and most horrible things that have ever come across my desk. And you get to the point where I'm not surprised by that anymore. People are awful. And I understand. And I know that people have severely wronged people. People in this room have been severely wronged. You know, I know some examples, but I know that in life it just happens. Some cases are worse than others. Some cases are just unspeakable things. And you might think to yourself, I'm disqualified from this because I can't do that. You can't do that on your own.
Yeah. Right.
But supernaturally you can.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Romans 13, it says the love of God. The love of God, the same love that Jesus had when he was staring at people that just cussed him out, beat him to a pulp, put nails through his hands and feet, a crown of thorns on his head, spit on him, called him all sorts of nasty names. That same love that caused him to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He wasn't up there saying, send down the fire, send the angels to consume them. He said, forgive them. And that same love, the Bible says, has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, the supernatural of God. Say, Pastor, what do I do? Get into love scriptures. Start confessing about your love walk. Get into love walk. Renew your mind on the love walk. And what the Bible says about love, remember that agape love, and this should help you, is not based on a feeling. Because you, listen, the Bible says love your enemies. Who feels like doing that? Pray for those who persecute you. Oh, that's a feeling I have every day. I'm going to go spend time praying for those that are meanest to me. Do good to those that hate you. Oh, yeah, that's what I feel like doing every day. People that hate me, I just feel like running out and doing good things. The point is, God never expects you to feel it before you do it. Which is so freeing to me. That I can do it when everything in my mind and my flesh is telling me I don't like them. I hate what they did. They hurt me. They're awful. But I can still choose to let them go.
Amen.
Whew, glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I'd get in that as soon as possible. You can't afford strife. I mean, literally, you can't afford it. Your finances won't work. Your body won't work right. You can't afford anger. You can't afford unforgiveness. You can't afford it. It's too costly. So examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you? I don't know. Examine yourselves. Make adjustments. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for this message today. Oh, Lord, a lot of soul searching today. A lot of heart searching. But, Father, we know that you need faith for you to be able to move in our life. You don't just move just because. You need our cooperation. Well, our faith needs to be working. So, Father, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to truly put the magnifying glass on our lives and not let pride take over and not let excuses and justifications of why we're worrying and why we're this. We're just going to be doers of the word this morning. Get into faith. It's better to be in faith than to not be in faith. I'd rather swallow my pride and I'd rather get worry taken care of and I'd rather start speaking and get into faith than to not be in faith and all the things that would come from that. Father, we love you today. We bless your name. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? I'm serious. Ask yourself that question because if you look in the obituaries, that became a reality for a lot of people every day. The last day of their life happened. It's true. It happens. Hopefully a lot later than sooner, but it's a truth. It's something we don't like to talk about, but it's a reality. But if today was that last day of your life, where would you go? I mean, once you've passed, would you go to heaven or would you not go to heaven? The Bible says you can know for sure if you go to heaven. It has nothing to do with how much you've gone to church. It has nothing to do with how many good things you've done. It doesn't have to do anything with how bad you've been. The Bible says the way you know that you're going to heaven is by what you do with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And the Bible says if you believe that, and you ask him into your life, the Bible says it's that simple. I don't care what churches have told you. I don't care what grandmas and aunts and other people have told you, other ministers. You do not have to jump through religious hoops to get God to love you. You simply have to call on his name. What does that look like? Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I ask you into my heart. That's as simple as it is. And then you'll know that you're going to heaven. But not only, it's not for just heaven. You become his child on this earth. You get to go into a family with God who's full of prosperity, peace, love, joy, protection, and victory and health. And so if you want that life, it doesn't cost you anything. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You're not going to say anything on your own. You won't stand up. You're not going to come to the front. Nobody's looking around. But if you can say, I want to accept Jesus, I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven, I want a new life of faith with him, would you just raise your hand real quick and put it right back down? Is there anybody in here that wants to receive Jesus? I don't like to rush this. Again, nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. Anybody at all, or your heart's telling you, that's me, put that hand up. That's me he's talking about, put that hand up. Just obey that. Don't get off the fence of eternity, my goodness. It's not going to cost you anything. You don't have to come to this church. You don't have to give any money. But if you want to receive Jesus, just put your hand up real quick and put it right back down. Anybody at all in this room? Father, I don't see any hands here, but that doesn't mean that somebody wasn't shy or somebody listening by live stream now or in the archives in the future needs to receive you. If you're one of those people that you say that he's talking about me, all you simply have to do is say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. And when you do that, let us know. Send us an email. Give us a call. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church so you can start to learn all the wonderful things that God has for you. Father, we love you. Let's praise him this morning. Let's give him thanks. You know, when you go to a good, when you, someone cooks you a good meal, you should say thank you. Lord, you provided such a good meal today. Thank you, Lord, for the good eating that we had. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick before you leave, don't forget, if you have kids in nursery, please go right there before you fellowship, before you do anything else, get your kids. And also, Reverend Greer, tonight through Thursday, 7 p.m., Fredonia Family Church, you are dismissed.